The year was 2003. 2003. Horror, grief, rage, anger, and patriotic fervor were all swirling about in the air in those years after the 9/11 attacks. The U.S. was fighting a war in Afghanistan, and by 2003, the President George W. Bush was on the precipice of launching another war, about to invade Iraq. And at that very moment, the popular all-female country group, now known as the Chicks, this popular group from Texas, they were traveling throughout the U.S. and the world as a part of their Top of the World tour. And in one concert in 2003, lead singer Natalie Maines stopped singing for a second to declare, "We don't want this war, this violence. And we're ashamed that the President of the United States is from Texas." The backlash was swift and ferocious. The Chicks were blacklisted by country music radio. They lost their record deals and their corporate sponsorships. They received death threats and were told to shut up and sing. The Chicks wouldn't release another album for 3 years until 2006 rolled around, and with it, they dropped the single, Not Ready to Make Nice. An angry anthem with the chorus, "I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round." What will you do with your anger? How will you give voice to your rage? Every year, the story goes, a man named Elkanah would take his two wives, Penina and Hannah, with him to go and make a sacrifice and worship at a sanctuary in a place called Shiloh, where a man named Eli and his two sons were priests. And even though year after year they would travel to worship, one year something shifted. And though Hannah was said to be favored and loved by her husband, who every year would give her extra food from the sacrifice they made, Hannah was also taunted by the other wife, by Penina, her rival, because Penina had children. She had sons and daughters, and Hannah had none. And in this ancient context, assumptions about fertility were that women were the source of fertility and that God could give or withhold it. Motherhood was assumed to be the key to a woman's identity. To not have children was profoundly negative. It meant risking isolation or poverty. To have a son in particular, meant being cared for if your husband died, and that after you died, your legacy would be able to carry on. And so we are told that Hannah would cry whenever their family would go up for this yearly sacrifice, because she was mercilessly tormented by Penina, who rubbed it in her face that she didn't have any kids. And when Hannah was crying and upset, her husband Elkanah would ask emotionally obtuse questions like, "Why are you so sad?" and "Why aren't you eating anything?" And he would make things worse by saying what not to say lines like, "Aren't I worth more to you than 10 sons?" Even though Elkanah apparently loved Hannah, he did not grasp the depth of his wife's struggle. He did not understand the disappointment and the vulnerability that Hannah faced. And so Hannah took initiative in her sadness, in her frustration, praying to God in the sanctuary. Her tears and her prayers flowed together. She asked God to be seen, to be remembered in her pain. She asked to not be forgotten. She petitions God to have her be able to give birth to a son, pledging that if she receives a son, she will offer him back to God. Eli, who is the priest in charge of this sanctuary where Hannah is praying, notices what's going on, and he turns out to be another inept man in the story. He sees her mouth quivering silently, mouthing prayers, but no words are coming out, and Eli, instead of seeing bold faithfulness, Eli questions her, assuming that she's drunk and stumbled in. "Sober up, drunkard," he tells her. She retorts. She pushes back. "No, sir. I'm a woman deeply troubled. I have not had any beer or wine, but I've been pouring out my heart to God. Don't regard me as a worthless woman, for I've been speaking out of my profound anxiety and vexation," she says. What will you do with your anger? How will you give voice to your rage? Now, of course, I imagine that many of you know where this story ends. Hannah gets pregnant. She gives birth to a son named Samuel, who will be a prophet that will both anoint and contend with Israel's first kings, Saul and then David. These men, of course, will occupy the center of the official storyline. And Hannah, over time, fades from view. Hannah's story is an old story, a trope even in the Bible, where women like Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel find themselves in conflict, unable to give birth, only to later miraculously give birth to a son. And viewed cynically, it might seem that these women merely serve to appear to bring male protagonists that God needs and will use in the world, and then their role's done and they disappear from view between the lines of the Bible. Stories about infertility like this might be difficult to hear when they always end up in birth. It's agonizing to hear Hannah getting what she prayed for when we know that so many don't get what they prayed for, when so many have experienced unanswered prayers or longings or hopes in which God has felt silent. Yet Hannah's story, in all these layers of ancient gender roles and familial drama, offers a model of how we might move when faced with profound struggles that lead to feelings of rage and anger. Hannah could have taken out retribution against Peninnah. She could have quietly accepted her lot in life. Instead, she models for us what it is to rage loudly, to cry boldly, to pray in ways that challenge the very customs of acceptability in our day, whether at home, whether in the sanctuaries of sacrifice and worship. She teaches us to pray in our anger and disappointment with weeping hearts and weeping eyes. Hannah has the courage to cry. What will you do with your anger? How will you give voice to your rage? The year was 1961. A fiery farmer and freedom fighter in the Black Freedom Movement named Fannie Lou Hamer needed to undergo surgery. She needed to have a uterine tumor removed. Without her consent, a white doctor performed a hysterectomy. Hamer and her husband would later adopt three daughters. But Hamer would never forgive the state of Mississippi for her forced sterilization, later referring to it as a Mississippi appendectomy, in grim recognition of how sterilization was used as a tool of violence to limit Black births. Maybe you know Hamer for the history of her courageous activism And her bold and strategic organizing for voting rights and black empowerment through land ownership and agricultural cooperatives. I also love, she was really into pig farming, and I'll talk to you at snack time about that if you'd like to. Maybe you know Hamer because of this quilted banner we have with a slogan of hers, which was also printed on our Chumph t-shirts for a convention last year that says, "Nobody's free until everybody is free." But Hamer's even more well-known phrase that's apropos for this Sunday might be this. "All my life I've been sick and tired," she was known to say. "Now I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." Fannie Lou Hamer gave voice to the sickness of racism and the weariness of injustice and used her anger to act with courage. What will you do with your anger? How will you give voice to your rage? It was 3 or 4 years later. Hannah had returned to the sanctuary in that little town of Shiloh to sacrifice and worship again, but this time she brought along with her Samuel, by now a little kiddo who had just stopped breastfeeding. And when she arrived there, she loudly reminded the priest Eli of who she was in case he was going to mistake her again for a drunk. And she gave her son there to the Lord and left him with Eli so that he could grow to be a prophet. And then Hannah prayed a prayer, the prayer we just heard read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, of a world upending, of bows breaking, of a girding up of the feeble and a filling the hungry type of prayer. It was a prayer that exalted the poor and tore down the mighty and set the world on the firm foundation of God type of prayer. Hannah's anger, her rage, gave birth to a prophetic prayer of justice and a world upending hope. What will you do with your anger? The year is 2026. Feels a little weird to say that out loud because it means I'm old. But the year is 2026, and there is so much to be angry about, to rage at. And maybe you've seen those signs on the side of the road or at a protest that say, "If you're not angry, you're not paying attention." And there's some truth to that. But I also find myself a little weary at that sentiment, of weary of the wide web of possibilities, of so many things to be angry at, so many things to click that are rage bait, so many possible dysfunctions that could spur me to get mad. And so some days it could seem easier to be numb, easier to be inebriated than to pray sober. And the temptation of turning that anger or that rage external and blaming others who don't deserve it, or directing that anger inward till it festers in unhealthy self-loathing, these are always our perpetual challenges. And that's why this year, 2026, we need the voices of the psalmist. We need the chicks. We need Job, we need Fannie Lou Hamer and Hannah, who aren't afraid to speak loudly out of the full spectrum of human emotion, including rage, the far end of rage, so that we won't ever get bogged down or stuck there. This year, 2026, may you take your anger and let it be a song. May God take your anger and let it be a wordless, tear-filled murmur. May God take your weariness and your heartache and birth within you the miracle of courage. The courage to speak truthfully, to act boldly, begins with the courage to cry. Because the world, as Hannah's prayer reminds us, rests on the foundation of God's loving promise to be with all who suffer, with all the poor and the lowly and the downtrodden. It's with these who God promises to raise up. And in that raising up, God weeps with all who continue to suffer. So don't shove down your anger. Don't try to pen it in. Don't deny the rage you feel. It's okay. But prayerfully pay attention and pour it all out as a sacrifice to God, in whose love we all find the courage to carry on. May it be so.